Good morning, friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. So today we continue with the sermon and Bible study series on the spiritual gifts. And our passage today, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, reminds us that God gives us different gifts, different spiritual gifts, in order to build up the body of Christ to advance his kingdom. So as we begin our time today, question, what do you think is the most useless part of the human body? What do you think is the most useless part of the human body? The doctors are not allowed to answer. So for many years, modern medicine had thought that the appendix was pretty much useless and even very often a nuisance. And if you tried to Google what is the most useless organ in the human body, as I tried in the preparation of this sermon, you actually get at the top of the list of your search, the appendix. The appendix was thought to be apparently so useless that for many years, medical science could not understand its purpose, except for two things. One, it could get infected and inflamed, and if it got infected and inflamed, it could cause serious problems. But as science progressed, in more recent years, researchers have found that, hey, wait a minute, it's not that useless after all. The appendix actually plays a significant role in both the digestive as well as the immune systems. And so even the so-called useless appendix actually has an important role. It's just that it took us human beings a very long time to figure that out. So in today's passage, we find that Paul uses the picture of the church as the body of Christ and calls us to recognize that all Christians possess spiritual gifts, and that no gift is too small, and that no Christian is unimportant to Christ. But before we go further, would you join me as we turn to the Lord in prayer? If you're able to, please stand. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, as we ponder your word this morning, we ask your Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts, Lord, so that we would understand, apply, and live your word wholeheartedly. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So as we turn to our text today, one of the fundamentals we notice in 1 Corinthians, in the book that we are studying today, is what Paul the Apostle taught the Corinthian Christians about how we should think of the church. And this can be found in the opening verses of the letter. So we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, from verses 1 to 2, Paul writes, "Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes," in other words, this letter is from them, "to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours." And in this very short couple of sentences, we learn that the church belongs to God. We learn that the church is the family of believers. In other words, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We learn that the church, the members of the church, are sanctified in Christ Jesus, and therefore we are called to be holy, and it is made up of all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this foundational understanding of the church undergirds the rest of the letter, as we shall see in today's passage. In other words, the question of spiritual gifts needs to be understood in relation to the fact that spiritual gifts are not just some fancy manifestations of the Spirit, but spiritual gifts are part and parcel of God's equipping of the church so that the kingdom of God may be advanced, and therefore each and every spiritual gift comes under the sovereignty of God. So when we come back to chapter 12, verse 3 tells us that more important and more significant than the spiritual gifts is our relationship with our Lord Jesus, who is our Lord and who is our Savior. To acknowledge Christ as our Lord is a work of God's Spirit. As Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9 reminds us, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So may I suggest that in our enthusiasm to find out and even to exercise spiritual gifts, we need to always remember the more important and more significant gift that God has already given to all of us, the gift of our salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord. In fact, whatever religious experiences we may have had, or whatever spiritual gift has been exercised, Paul tells us that if it does not honor Christ as Lord, then the origin of the gift or the experience might actually be suspicious. If our exercise of any spiritual gift does not honor Christ, question, does it come from God's Holy Spirit? The point being, our exercise of any spiritual gift and any Christian experience that we may have had must always honor Christ our Lord as Lord. That's the bottom line. And so verse 4 to 7 then affirms that to whom the various spiritual gifts Christians are given is actually the choice and the prerogative of God's Holy Spirit. And undergirding each and every one of these gifts is God Himself who is at work. The purpose of the different spiritual gifts, therefore, is not for my own experience alone. Neither is the purpose of the various spiritual gifts about me or any one of us being a superior sort of Christian, which then leads to comparison between people. That's missing the point. The purpose of the different spiritual gifts is for the good of the church, which belongs to God. God blesses us with various spiritual gifts to bless others, and every one of us, without exception, has a gift. And the point of the gift, the point of the blessing, is so that we may be a blessing ourselves to others. Thus, perhaps the question that we need to be asking ourselves is not so much, what spiritual gift would I like, but to find out, what is the spiritual gift God has already given me? It is not so much, do I want to exercise my spiritual gifts, but rather, how does the church benefit from the exercise of my gift? How can I bless the Church of Jesus Christ in the exercise of my gift? Notice here that therefore the focus is on the body of Christ, not about my own individual self or my own individual experience. So Paul then identifies a diversity of gifts, but notice that the list of spiritual gifts here is somewhat different from the list that you can find in Romans chapter 12 or even the list in Ephesians chapter 4. And what does that tell us? I think it tells us that this listing of spiritual gifts is not exhaustive. This listing of the spiritual gifts is not meant to be the only list, right? And the point of these various and diverse gifts of God's Spirit goes back to the fundamental purpose of building up the church and to advance God's kingdom. So what are these gifts found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Our passage lists 9 of them. And so very quickly, you have the gift of wisdom, which is the ability to apply spiritual truth to meet specific needs or situations. Knowledge, the ability to provide truth by revealing biblical understanding or insight from God. Faith, an extraordinary confidence in God that He will provide, that He will protect, that He will answer prayer. Healing, the ability to pray, touch, or speak words that produce spiritual, physical, or emotional healing. Miracles, showing God's power through supernatural action. Prophecy, to guide others by speaking truth from the Word of God to cause correction or even repentance. Discernment, or distinguishing between spirits, is the ability to distinguish between truth and error. Tongues, the ability to speak in a language unknown to the speaker for the purpose of prayer, worship, and as mentioned earlier, the edification of others, and the gift of interpretation to be used in conjunction with the gift of tongues to interpret or to tell others what somebody did say in tongues. But the point of this entire list is this: whatever the gift is, the fundamental, the basic, the important point is this: God is the source, God is the power behind these diverse spiritual gifts. God is sovereign in His distribution of His gifts to His people. And it is God's Holy Spirit who carefully distributes them according to the needs of the church. As 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 reminds us, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. And on our part, we ought to seek to discover what gift God has already given us so that we can use it to bless the body of Christ. Put it the other way, no one among us should be able to say, but I got no gift leh. Okay? No one is supposed to say, I have no gift. We can find out what our gift is if it is not yet apparent. And the question, therefore, is, what spiritual gift has God given you? If you don't yet know, I want to encourage you to take steps to find out. So the cell group ministry has received a spiritual gift survey, which you could use at the cell group. And I want to also encourage us to read again, as Pastor Darrell mentioned earlier, the session communique on spiritual gifts to anchor our understanding. And at the end of the day, the point is, I want to encourage each one of us as we seek our gifts, as we seek to understand and to know our gifts, is to use them, to be willing to use them for God's kingdom's sake. Okay, so coming back to our text, remember earlier on last year, we had this sizable Bible study and sermon series on Presbyterian distinctives? Okay, some people nodding, some people staring at me. Maybe forget already. Okay, never mind. Remember this, right? Baptism signifies our entry into the church family, united to Christ's body, the church. So Paul uses the metaphor of the human body to help us, his readers, get the point. And what is the point? The point is we are all part of his one single body, the body of Christ, otherwise known as the church. And so we are called to love and unity, not division. We are called to love and unity and certainly not quarrel over our spiritual gifts. Certainly not envy of other people's spiritual gifts. But the Corinthian church had a problem of disunity, as seen in Paul's introduction again in chapter 1. And from the context of the text, this was probably because certain ones had an exaggerated sense of importance because of their possession of certain more public or more spectacular gifts, while others likely envied these people who had gained certain prominence. But once again, the spiritual gifts are meant to bless the body of Christ. The spiritual gifts were meant to unite the body of Christ, never to cause division. In other words, if the exercise of my spiritual gift leads to disunity in the church, then I've got it wrong. If the exercise of your spiritual gift leads to apathy or lack of love for others, then you've got it wrong. If the exercise of our spiritual gifts leads us to pride, we have totally misunderstood God's intention. God gives us spiritual gifts in order to love the church, in order to build up the church, the community of faith, in order to advance his kingdom. And so we are called to unity. We are called to love. And so using the metaphor of the human body, Paul emphasizes the point that we all need each other. No one is an island. No Christian is able to thrive after being cut off from the fellowship of the body of Christ. As members of Christ's body, we all need each other. So Paul uses the technique of hyperbole, the exaggeration, in order to make a point. So Paul challenges his readers, now can show the eye. Paul challenges his readers to use their sanctified imagination. Imagine an eye, a squishy eye, the so-called star player of the human body, but without a skull to protect it, without blood circulation to sustain it, without a body to carry it around, and with no brain attached to it that it might serve the brain. Think about it. It will look like this, right? You just got this blob. The eye without the skull to protect it, with no blood circulation to sustain it, the eye with no body to carry it around and no brain to serve, is simply an organized collection of specialized cells, but no useful function left, and without the rest of the body, the eye would simply lie around, probably be floppy, pretty much useless, and eventually die. The eye on its own is totally unable to carry out its function for which it was created for. And on the opposite end, the body that is left behind without its eyes would be blinded and totally unable to see. And if you extrapolate this, likewise, as with any other body part, no body part usefully functions on its own without the body. And no body part thrives or even survives without the body it belongs to. And Paul's analogy is clear. Any one of the spiritual gifts on its own also is pretty much useless. And any one of us operating alone without the rest of the body of Christ cannot flourish. And so we are called to unity in Christ's body, the church. We are called to love in Christ's body, the church. And I'd like to take this opportunity to ask us also to cast our eyes, to cast our vision further, to cast our prayers further. Why? Because many Christians today still live in places where they are hard-pressed. Many Christians today are even persecuted. Would we pray for them? Because they too belong to the one united body of Christ, as we do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need each other because we are all part of the one single united body of Christ, the community of faith. Our gifts are given by God, totally by grace, so that there is nothing, absolutely nothing to boast about. Our gifts are given by God, apportioned by God, meant for the advancement of His kingdom. And significantly, we didn't read this morning, but in the very next chapter, chapter 13, Paul brings us to the natural conclusion of the importance of the one single body of Christ. We are all called to love one another. We are all called to grow and mature in our faith by loving one another as contributory parts of the one single body of Christ. Because as Paul writes and challenges us, love is superior even to any spectacular or public spiritual gift, because when we one day meet Christ at the throne of grace, all prophecy, all knowledge, all tongues, and all of any other spiritual gifts will pass away. But love never ceases. So a story was told about the time that the animals decided to organize a school to benefit everybody. Right? So after they had a lot of debate, a lot of discussion, the curriculum was finally decided upon. Everybody must learn to run, everybody must learn to climb, everybody must learn to swim, everybody must learn to fly. Why? Because these are the basic behaviors of most animals. Okay, so the duck was an excellent swimmer, right? And not bad at flying, but it totally failed in climbing and running. F. Not even D. Totally F. So he trained very hard in climbing and running, but had difficulty making the grade. Unfortunately, in the instructor's zeal to get him to climb, to get him to run, his webbed feet were so damaged that he cannot swim anymore. The rabbit, on the other hand, was forced to spend so much of his time learning to swim and to fly that he soon lost his running speed. Okay, how about the squirrel? The squirrel's climbing grade started from A+. In fact, he should have been an instructor for climbing. But the people in the school, the teachers were like, no. You got to learn to fly. So now kena C+ lah, cannot climb anymore because all the time was spent learning to fly. By the way, it wasn't a flying squirrel, right? And the eagle kena sent to detention class. Why? Because he thought it was absolutely foolish to climb to the top of the tree. So he always flew. So kena detention class, rebellious. But the most discouraged of everybody else were the badgers, the wombats, and the moles, Why? Because digging was not part of the curriculum. So they decided to start their own private school instead. They quit. They totally quit. But you know, even as we laugh at this story, which actually began as an educational parable, highlighting that different people have different intelligences, I think the key point for us today is that in God's wisdom, God gave us all different spiritual gifts. And the diversity of spiritual gifts are meant to contribute to the unity and growth of Christ's body. And so if I'm a duck for whom swimming comes naturally, although I may want to learn to climb or run, perhaps the point is that I would be foolish to neglect my area of giftedness, which was swimming. Today's mind picture is that of the human body illustrating the Church of Jesus Christ. Like the animal kingdom with its many uniquely gifted living creatures, all of whom contribute to nature's ecological balance, we in the church are gifted with a diversity of different gifts, and these are designed to contribute to the health and to the growth of the church. And so the remaining question would be, what is your spiritual gift? How has God called you to exercise your gift in love, to bless the community of faith, to advance his kingdom? Friends, brothers and sisters, what is God saying to you today? Would you join me in prayer? Please rise. God, our Heavenly Father, you gifted us with a tremendous, diverse variety of spiritual gifts to build your church, to advance your kingdom. We are a body with many different parts. Help us, Lord, to find our gift, to play our role. Help us to grow in faith and love, to contribute to your kingdom. And Father, we also want to pray for our brothers and sisters in very difficult situations. Lord, would you sustain them who are also your children? Lord, would you provide for them who are also part of your body? For we pray these in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing for the hymn of response.